Well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll ask God's blessing on the preaching time. Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to look into your word. We pray you guide us and direct us and help us to understand. Help us to take what we learn and apply it to our lives, Lord, so that we can be the kind of thankful Christians that you would want us to be. And so allow your spirit to speak to us. We also pray for Maureen McGrain and the needs there with the rapid heart rate. We thank you that she's home, but we pray, Lord, you'd watch over her and keep her safe. Lord, pray that you would not fall or get injured in any way. We pray that you just put your hand upon her and be a help to her. Again, Lord, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As we approach Thanksgiving, it is important that we Christians prepare our hearts for this very special day. Now, we know that to be ready for special days requires some special preparation. I mean, you think of the Christmas holiday and all the preparation that goes into that. And we prepare other holidays too, like Mother's Day and Father's Day and, you know, 4th of July cookouts and a Memorial Day cookouts. And a lot of preparation has to be made before these special days arrive. And when it comes to Thanksgiving, of course, the preparation in many homes involves going to the grocery store and buying a turkey and stuff for dressing and vegetables and desserts and spending 2 or 3 days cooking for all the family members to eat on this very special day. But the Word of God tells us that Thanksgiving should be recognized every time we enter the house of God. Every time. And the scriptures teach us this very clearly in Psalm 100. So let's turn there this morning. That's where we will be focusing our attention. Now, I know that last Thanksgiving Sunday, last year, I preached on Psalm 100 then too. But let's just make pretend God can speak to us twice from the same passage of Scripture, okay? So Psalm 100 this morning. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, God here is addressing, first of all, Israel, but also all people and all nations. And I'll tell you what, if any people should be thankful as a nation, we Americans should be on the top of the list. The top of the list. Now, Thanksgiving Day, of course, is a distinctive holiday because it doesn't commemorate a battle. It doesn't commemorate anyone's birthday. It doesn't commemorate an anniversary. It's simply a day set aside to express our nation's thanks to God. And on Thursday, our nation will pause once again to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And I think that the 100th Psalm was written to remind us of our need to be thankful and to remind us of the need to maintain an attitude of gratitude. We need to recognize how blessed we are as we approach Thanksgiving. So let's look at several things that will help us prepare our hearts for this very special day. First, let's consider the basis of our thanksgiving. In the 100th Psalm, God is basically saying to Israel, look, when you think about how you came into the promised land and settled down in your warm homes and had plenty to eat, when you think of that, remember, I led you out of the wilderness and I brought you into the land flowing with milk and honey. Don't forget me. And it doesn't take very long to realize that the people of Israel needed a reminder. But I'm convinced that God had us in mind also when he wrote this psalm. And you see that when you notice to whom it is addressed. The first verse says it's addressed to all ye lands, that is, all the earth. And the last verse says it includes all generations. And so this message of thanksgiving applies to everyone. Now, to me, it's sad that except for Canada and the Philippines, we are the only other country in the world that has a special Thanksgiving Day. Now, why is it that some people are not thankful? Well, there are at least two reasons. Number one, we feel that we are entitled to the blessings of God because we experience them so much and so often. In Psalm 68:19, the Bible says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. We are blessed every day. And the trouble with receiving the blessings of God daily is we eventually come to expect them. This is the entitlement mindset that has permeated American society at almost every level, and it has affected many spiritually. They have been blessed to live in a land of plenty, and as a result, they feel that the blessings of God are not something we should be thankful for, but they feel like those blessings are something we deserve. We deserve. But the truth is, we deserve nothing. We deserve nothing. God blesses us because he is gracious and kind and merciful and loving. He does not bless us because we deserve his blessings. As a matter of fact, thank God we don't get what we do deserve. And so that's one reason some people don't give thanks, is because they feel like they deserve the blessings of God. But then another reason people don't give thanks is that often we base our thanksgiving on how much we have. But listen now. In life, you will always find people who are smarter than you, more attractive than you, and have more money than you. We cannot base our thanksgiving on how much we have, because if we do, no one will ever be thankful. Never. We can always find someone who has more than we do. And so why should we be thankful? Well, our thanksgiving should be based on our relationship to the Lord and the fact that we can have a relationship with him. You'll notice in the 100th Psalm that it is not about being thankful for things. It's about being thankful for him, for the Lord. In verse 1, you find the name of the Lord. In verse 2, you'll find the name of the Lord. In verse 3, you'll find the name of the Lord. In verse 5, you'll find the name of the Lord. And in verse 4, even though the word Lord is not found in the verse, it does talk about his gates, his courts, his name. And so the basis of our thanksgiving is based on him, not things. The basis of our thanksgiving is our being reminded that everything we have came from the Lord. James makes that very clear in James 1:17. He said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So we've looked at the basis of our thanksgiving, which is the Lord himself, and the fact that we can have a personal relationship with him through faith. That's the basis of our thanksgiving. But secondly, I want you to consider the blessings of our thanksgiving. And this is where we'll spend the rest of our time this morning. As we continue to look at Psalm 100, we see that God gives us five statements, or I guess you could call them five commands, in this thanksgiving passage of Scripture, making it very clear to us that being thankful is a choice. It's a choice. And not just in the Old Testament, as we're reading this morning, but in the New Testament as well. In Colossians 3, verse 15, Paul said, "Be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And so being thankful is a choice. In Hebrews 13:15, it says this, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." We are to be a thankful people, not a grumbling and griping people. In Philippians 2:14, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." The word disputings there in our King James Bible, that's an Old English word that means complaining. We're to do things without griping and complaining. And so we see that being thankful is a choice. But unfortunately, many choose to gripe and grumble. And we need to determine as believers in Christ that we're just not going to be that way. We need to make a decision this morning that we're going to be thankful based on the fact that God is good. As we read in verse 5, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And so we need to determine we're going to be thankful. I'm convinced that the word thanks is one word that is too seldom heard, too rarely spoken, and too often forgotten. So let's look at some phrases in this psalm, or some commands, I guess you'd call them, that will help us to be thankful. Notice, first of all, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Now, when David says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord," what he is saying is that we should shout for the joy of the Lord. When a blessing has been provided by God, we should shout with joy from the very depths of our being. That's what David is saying here. When suddenly you realize that God has done something good to you, something special, that he's given you some added blessing, don't keep quiet about it. From the depths of your being, shout your joy unto the Lord. Offer to him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to him. Now, I know that that shouting and things to the Lord and singing to the Lord are not necessarily things people like to do publicly. But it's not, doesn't say publicly we have to do this, but we certainly should be offering thanks to him when he does something special. Say, "Well, I don't know what to say to the Lord." Well, why don't you start with the doxology? Do that. Go someplace, you know, where you can be by yourself and sing to the Lord. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Start there, you know. But don't be silent. When God does something good for you, don't be silent about it. Make a joyful noise to him. Make a joyful noise. Shout in your soul from the joy of the Lord. So the first thing we're told to do is make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And the second thing I want you to notice here, the second command, is serve the Lord with gladness. Now, look at that word, serve. Notice it doesn't say serve the church, serve the preacher, serve the congregation. It says serve the Lord. But how do you do that? You do that by serving others. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 40, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." The Bible teaches that when we witness on behalf of the Lord, or, you know, if we feed the hungry or clothe the naked, or if we do the work of the Lord, whatever it might be, we are serving the Lord, which ought to be the delight of our heart. It ought to be our greatest joy. It ought to be done with gladness. Unfortunately, many Christians haven't grown spiritually enough to grasp this. They serve from a feeling of obligation, or they serve from a feeling of guilt, or they serve to get attention. And until a Christian comes to recognize that we were put here to serve, that this is our number one purpose. It's the reason that when we got saved, God didn't take us immediately to heaven, right? We are put here to serve. And until a Christian comes to recognize that we are here to serve the Lord and that we are to do it gladly, they will never be thankful for their blessings. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. And then the third statement is this. So the third command, he says, come before his presence with singing. Do you ever hear people complaining who profess to be saved? That is such a sad thing. Now, I understand. Let's be honest here. I know we all complain every now and then, right? All of our halos are a little crooked in that area. We need to straighten them up a little bit, right? But complaining should not become our habit. It should not be our way of life. We don't want to be the type of Christian who's constantly serving the Lord and yet the whole time complaining about it. That just shows that that type of person is not serving the Lord for the right reasons. And so the Bible says, come before his presence with singing. Psalm 98, verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. We are to be singing, not whining, in the presence of the Lord. Now, have you noticed that these first three commands that God has given us, God has said that he wants us to be happy. Make a joyful noise. Serve with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Well, when we get to the fourth one, the tone changes a little bit. And he talks to us about what should be the basis of our thanksgiving and what should be the basis of our joy. The fourth command is found in verse 3, know ye. Know ye what? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. A lot of folks live as if they created themselves. And they live as if they have every right to do with their life as they please. But that's just not so. God created us. He took every bone, every joint, and he welded them together with sinew and muscles and covered them with skin. He gave us eyes with which we can see. He gave us brains with which we can think, fingers with which we can pick things up, feet to walk with. God made us. The scripture says, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. And then he says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. But you know what I think? I think most of us want to be the shepherds, not the sheep. Because that's just the way our old flesh is. But the problem is, we don't know where the still waters are. And we don't know where the green pastures are. And every time we go out searching for them on our own, we invariably end up in a far country. And that's why Solomon in the book of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so what God is saying is, you be the sheep, and let me be the shepherd, and I will lead you beside the still waters and the green pastures. You just let me lead. Let me lead. And then finally, the fifth command and statement is found in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people came to the temple and entered the courtyards, they knew they had come into the presence of the Lord. Now, that temple no longer exists. But there is a sense in which we enter the presence of the Lord every time we gather in this building as a body of believers. Because Jesus said in Matthew 18, 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. When we gather, we're gathering together. We're entering the presence of the Lord. So there's a sense when we gather, it's almost like coming into the temple. Because when we gather, he is here with us. But there is also another sense in which God dwells in a temple. And that temple is you, if you are a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which means that he is with you everywhere you go. He is with you as you drive on the highway. He's with you when you work. He's with you as you care for your family. He's with you every moment of your life. And that is a great source of thanksgiving. What a great truth that is. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And in Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is a great source of thanksgiving. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you are trusting him and him alone for forgiveness and eternal life and a home in heaven, the Bible says he has indwelt you. And that means that he is with you every moment of your life, every step of the way. Again, it's a source of great thanksgiving. Now, with that thought in mind, I just want to leave you with some questions to think about this morning. What if God began to treat us like we so often treat him? What if God met our needs on the to the same degree that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God just took away his message because we wouldn't pay attention to his message? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer his call to serve? And what if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow him today? Now, thankfully, that is not the way our God works. He is kind and merciful and very patient and gracious to us every day, all day. But that is no excuse for us not to thank him every day, or to follow him every day, or to serve him every day, or to live for him every day, or to love him every day. Because he is worthy. He is worthy. And so as we bring this message to a close, I just want to read Psalm 100 one more time and get this into our hearts. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. God is a good God, and we need to remember his kindness towards us, and we need to thank him every day. Every day.